I have way more slides than I've got time. So I'm going to blitz through them, and here's hoping that you guys don't get seasick and Erica doesn't throw tomatoes at me. Plum Thicket Farms is located in northwest Nebraska, right on the northern edge of Sandhills. We get 14 to 16 acres or inches of rain a year. We control about 4,000 acres of native range, and we farm 2,300 acres, three-fourths of which is dry land. Pasture is by far our most limiting factor, yet this last year we ran 286 cow-calf pairs. We had started with 100 yearling heifers. We'll keep all of our steers through March in a grazing system. We'll keep all of our heifers through pregnancy testing next year. And we added 500 stockers for 3 months this summer. We do this and maintain an 11-month grazing season. And the way that we're able to do that is that we heavily utilize annual forages. We calve on rye in May. We'll graze sorghum swaths in the winter. We take advantage of all the corn stalks we can find. And we graze cover crops, falling wheat or oats or spring cocktails. This year, we mob graze some dryland cool and warm season forage cocktails. Grazing rye in May is a no-brainer. It's wonderful to calve on. It can be a little bit challenging to manage because it all comes really fast and it gets rank very easily. Wouldn't be talking about it, but we discovered a kind of a neat tool for lengthening the time that we're able to graze rye. We had a field, a dryland field of rye. When it started to head, we went ahead and swathed it. We swathed it at two different header heights, one pretty short and the other one about 4 to 5 inches tall. And we discovered that we got excellent regrowth on both types. The difference was the stuff that was cut really short was ready about a week after the stuff that started with a head start. The swaths were very palatable and full of good nutrition. We were also able to go ahead and plant a warm season cocktail afterwards. The only thing I'm going to say about grazing swaths is it's a wonderful tool. We've been doing it since 2005. It's very reliable. We've never had more snow than the cows could dig through. You can winter cows on it very well. You can also background calves on it. Year in and year out, we can get 2 pounds of gain on calves, feeding some distiller's grain, depending on what the forage quality of the swaths are. It ends up being a very inexpensive way, cost of gain. And in general, the calves do a little better than NRC predicts. I think this is because when we sample our swaths, we don't take into account the regrowth. And I think that is a real value to doing it. You want to cut it right as the head starts emerging from the sheath. You never want to turn cattle onto it until at least 5 days after you've had a very hard freeze to avoid any problems with prussic acid. And probably you should always check it for nitrates. I've never run into a problem with it. The thing that you're probably most interested in and that is pretty unusual is mob grazing forage cocktails. This is on dry land. I have to say it's definitely not for the faint of heart. You've got to have a population that can flex because it's entirely dependent upon getting adequate rainfall. If you're going to take in stockers to use them, you better have a contract that specifies that the cattle have to be removed in a timely fashion in case of drought or hail or fire. The reason we use forage cocktails is because they're more drought tolerant. The more diverse a plant population is, the more they help each other. We always put at least one legume in it to fix nitrogen. We always use brassicas. We like collards because they're not as dangerous as turnips. And they're there because they help make phosphorus more available to the plants. They also help to feed the soil bacteria and increase soil biomass. They definitely improve the grazing quality to the animal. You do need to be careful as you're designing your cocktails and not get your seed costs too pricey. I want to spend a minute talking about water management. We ran 1¼-inch black plastic pipe on top of the surface on the edge of our field. Every 300 feet, we put in quick couplers and that would lead to a 150-gallon water tank that ran on a float. We could move a tank in about 15 minutes. We kept two tanks per paddock. It worked really well. The cattle were never without water. It's pretty important to get that cocktail in as soon as you can in the spring. We put in 60 pounds of oats and 60 pounds of bin-run peas. We added 2 pounds of buckwheat and 2 pounds of forage collards. It is important to go ahead and fertilize it. We generally use about 50 pounds of N. Management of it is pretty tricky. You don't want to go on until the oats are at least 12 inches tall. And the first time through, you only want to take off about 4 inches. Because this will stimulate the oats to stool and it will greatly improve the biomass you have the next time through. You need to keep your paddocks small enough so that you can move them, go quickly through it, and regulate the rate of removal on it. The second time through, if I can get this to go, this is after we grazed it one time, we wanted to leave a lot of standing oats. Here's another picture of it. Cows love it. They do very well. And this is what they were eating. I like it because the calves can high grade what they're grazing, and they also do very well. This is after the second time through. We take it down to 4 inches. I like this picture because it shows the manure that's in there. You can see plenty of green for regrowth, and you don't see a whole lot of soil. You're doing a good job of covering your soils. And these are steers, actually, that we turned on the second time through. I love this picture because it just shows the diversity of what we're growing. And this is after we take it down to 4 inches and then get off. You can screw up, and this is a picture of a major screw up. We're working cattle, and about 6 o'clock at night, we had a cloud burst, and it was raining so dang hard. And my intern said, "Shouldn't we go move the steers?" And I said, "Oh, I think they'll be all right till morning." That was a bad call. My farmer is pretty unhappy with that particular paddock. We were able to go through our oats and peas 3 times. We got 3.24 AUMs per acre off of it. You'll see the two other pastures didn't do quite as well. That was a management issue. They would have done it had we done it right. The cost of growing a cool season cocktail is about $126 an acre. Last time I gave this presentation, somebody said, "That's a lot of risk, and I don't see a whole lot of profit in it." Where I'm sitting, I don't see profit in any farming right now. We planted 192 acres of oat and pea forage, and that allowed us to take in 500 stockers for 3 months that we would not have been able to take in otherwise. And that returned $53 an acre to it. If you look what pasture is worth in Nebraska, in our part of Nebraska last year, it's about $47.50 an AUM. So you can break even if you can get 2.67 AUMs per acre. The thing that I would like to stress is you're not going to get rich doing this, but you're farming for the future. There are a lot of unmeasurable benefits from including livestock in a farming rotation. Our soil down home is really sandy. It's kind of like hydroponic gardening. You get out of it what you put in. And this is over an 8-year period of organic matter trends. You can see it's slowly on the uprise. Ignore the little peak here. Co-op probably ran through a cow pie for that one. This is in a little heavier soil, and over the last 8 years, we see a steady improvement in our organic matter. I put in this potassium picture, which is also showing a steady improvement, and we do not ever add potash to our fertilization program. So the soil microbiology and improvement in soil structure is causing this improvement. Our conclusions are that we no longer need to be adding phosphorus to most of our crops unless we can put it in line or in row with a cash crop to give it that jump. I do think it's very important to continue to add nitrogen, at least until we get our organic matter up a lot further. Soil microbiology is very similar to ruminant microbiology, and you have got to feed the bugs that it takes to break down the residue to form organic matter. We planted a warm season cocktail in the middle of May. Soybeans, grazing corn, collards, buckwheat, sunflowers, and we thought it would be just great. We'd be able to go straight off the oats and peas in the middle of July onto this. Well, we had a really cold, nasty May, and all that seed just stood there until it warmed up in June, and then it came along with every warm season weed you can imagine. And this is definitely not something that I keep pressing the wrong button. I'm sorry. We'll be doing again. It was expensive, and we just can't be sure that we're going to get good growing conditions in May. If you're just going to do this as a way to replace pasture, pretty dang expensive. And we lost money on that. However, it's different with our later planted cocktails. We did plant some cocktails after we grazed that rye, and we saved it until weaning. We put the cows and calves were on cover crop following irrigated sorghum, or I mean an irrigated silage crop, and we put them on that, stuck blebs in the calves' noses, put them on a range for a week because I wanted to shut down the milk production on the cows during the weaning process. And then we took the blebs out of the calves and turned them out onto something that looks like this. Those calves put their heads down. They started grazing. We had no sickness. We had about 3 or 4 calves that walked the fence, mostly because they figured out how to nurse through in spite of their nose blebs. And they probably were gaining about pound and a half. We probably could have done better had we fertilized that crop. And I'll show you why in a minute. Now, if you were going to plant a cocktail to graze in the fall, it is very important that you feed rumensin at least 4 to 5 days before you turn those calves on and through at least the first 10 days of the grazing period. Because if you don't, this is a perfect scenario to get cow asthma or atypical interstitial pneumonia. AIP is lethal. You can't treat it, and a lot of cows get it. So, I mean, this is a very real risk, and you need to think about it. You know, we had 2 fields that we planted with a summer cocktail, and it was the only crop with that. And these are I'd really like to talk about these calves. These are my 2-year-old pairs. They were on native pasture all summer. We went to this particular, these 2 fields on the 7th of September, and we're there until the 1st of November. And if I can figure out how to... Can you make that run? Yes. Yeah. These calves were weaned on November 1st. Their mothers were 2-year-old. These calves were all born the first 10 days of the calving season, meaning they started the last week in April. We're done about 80% of them by the end of the first week in May. Their mothers, when we preg tested them, had an average body condition score of 5.8. These calves weighed 543 pounds on average, which 2 or 5 days is about 650 some pounds out of 2-year-olds. This, I think that the place to use warm season cocktails is strategically. You know, if you think about what 2-year-old pairs would be doing if they were out on native range in September and October, those calves would be literally melting and the calves would be standing still. Instead, these calves weighed 100 pounds more than the calves I weaned off my mature cows. And it comes up to an average daily gain of 2.5 pounds from birth through the 1st of November. I'm betting that what they're gaining here was considerably more than that. It is a really neat tool, properly used. We are committed no-till farmers. We have about an 8 crop rotation. Whenever we can, we'll put in a cover crop, and we try to get as much grazing out of it as we can. This is what our irrigated crop rotation looks like. You'll see that there's lots of opportunities to graze in that system as well. I'm going to end with a couple of pictures. This picture was taken about the 10th of April. It's volunteer rye that we ended up throwing some nitrogen at and grazing. My son is planting a cool season cocktail over there. Today, this particular day, the wind was blowing about 40 miles an hour. This is its sister field a mile away. It should have looked exactly like the other one. But we had a fire go through there 2 or 3 weeks earlier, and our most valuable resource is heading north. And I wanted to end with this picture because I want to remind us all just how fragile the environment is that we have been given the stewardship of, and to remember that we have to take care of our ground, because if we don't, we have no future. Thanks a bunch.